Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. I don't know if you got a chance to this week hear or see the segment that was done on the program on vision, you know, getting a survival plan. You know, life has its turmoil moments, and in general, without having anything like four blood moons and tragedy and stuff. But there are some turbulent times coming, and I think, Pat, when we were in South Carolina, did they say something like maybe 90% of Christians don't even know what their purpose is? 80 or 90%, something of that nature.
Can't confirm that, but that sounds about right.
And these are people that are like, go to those kind of conferences that are very serious about, and then you know, which means most believers today, according to what they were saying, that Rick Joyner was saying at a Morningstar conference, was that the ones they surveyed coming to, and you gotta be serious coming to Morningstar.
Yeah, you sure did.
You gotta be serious. We were just flying around.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. And they don't know their call. They don't, and I'm telling you, you know, you're called with a purpose. There is destiny inside of you. And you have to, if you haven't got, you got to go watch or listen to that segment, because you're going to need to get vision. You need to get it now. Mm-hmm. And not just an idea. You got to hear what you were created for. What has God called you to? And then you got to begin to realize and get it down really, really good. You know, like Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, you know, the book of Habakkuk, he talks about write the vision, make it plain so that other people can understand it. And run with it, though it linger, wait for it certainly will come to pass. Well, if you don't write it plainly, I mean, the enemy's going to steal it from you. He's just going to steal it from you. I mean, he steals, I mean, if 80, it's, I think it's 90, we'll just say 80. If 80% of Christians in America that has all this technology and ability to write down a vision, I mean, it's not like we have to go beat out papyrus and scratch it out with a quill or a feather or something, dipping in an inkwell. I mean, we have all these different ways to write down what God is saying, and write it clearly, and then understanding the process. You're going to go through process. I mean, I know Dr. Michael Brown says it this way. He says, God gives a man a vision. He gives the man a vision. Then he destroys the man, and then he brings forth the vision. I didn't say it that way, but it, you know, it's pretty much, I mean, every part of us that's in it, God wants that part of us to be removed, so that he can do what he wanted to do when he first told you what he wanted to do through you, not what you wanted to do through him. And you got to get that. You're going to be really encouraged. You're going to look back at some of those that have gone before us, and we're told in Hebrews to imitate those who have gone before us. But we've got to understand, you've got to get vision, because vision will bring restraint in your life. You know, vision will keep you from perishing in difficult times, and vision will help you go through the real difficult times of the bipolar opposites of what God has been telling you, understanding that's your time to learn the principles so that he can bring you into the provision. And it kind of makes me think about what you were sharing with me, you know, Steve, about fire and a sword. What was this thing about this Marine?
Well, I was just catching up with a Marine friend of mine, and he had been in the Marine Corps for, I want to say, 27 years.
Wow.
And we just got talking about the Corps and just remembering just the good memories. And he had a few more memories in the Corps than I did. But he was, what was really encouraging was, is that he was sharing with me an encounter that he had when he was a young Marine. And he was probably like his first 4 years when he was in. And he was able to go before a panel of leaders and high enlisted. It's like the sergeant major or master sergeant. It's pretty much the highest you can be in enlisted. These guys had spent, you know, 25 years in the Corps. And one of the things that he said to him, he said, you control the fire. You control how hot it gets. And to a whole bunch of young Marines, it just went right over their head. And he was like, what? And when he sat and then he talked about it, and he asked him, you know, what did you mean? And this senior enlisted man goes on a crown and he said, you're in control of how hot it gets. He says, imagine a sword and you place it in a fire. Mm-hmm. And the hotter it gets red hot.
Yeah, it does.
And it gets red hot. Mm-hmm. And your job is to take that sword and turn it around and place it in your heart.
This is a Marine?
This Marine says this. You know, he basically is an analogy.
Okay, I'll say.
Not a literal one. Don't care. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Wow.
Okay. And he says, take this sword and place it in your heart. And he says, you're in control of how hot it gets. Now it's going to hurt. He says, you can take it out, but then it's going to get cold and the fire's going to die away. Or you can
immediately die.
Exactly. Immediately.
Dies
immediately. Or he says, you can leave it in there. And he says that purifies it. And I'm paraphrasing. There was a significant story with this. And I don't remember
the details.
Well,
they say it cauterizes the wound.
Right.
It literally cuts off all the... Right.
Yeah.
It seals off all this blood. Yeah, that purifies it.
And he says, but if you leave it in there, if you leave it in your heart, he says it purifies you.
Yeah.
And he says on the tip of that sword is the eagle, globe, and anchor. Everything that we stand for. Character, integrity, country, God, others, team, leadership. The easiest thing is to take it out. But to be a leader, you got to leave it in there and let it purify you. And he was just like, whoa, that was deep. And I was like, wow, that was deep. It's like, but that's how powerful it is. It's like, you got to understand it's those times of testing that purify you. And when you have a vision, you see that I need this difficulty in my life right now because it's this difficulty that's going to purify me so that I can remain steadfast and unwavering when those times of testing come in the future. And that's huge because I think about what we were talking about before is just like that difference between wood, hay, and
stubble,
you know, stubble versus the silver, the gold, the costly stones. It's going to cost you something. Purify me. And it's like you look at, if somebody is purifying gold, they got to put it in the fire. And the fire brings all the impurities to the top so that whoever's working with that gold, they can just wipe it away.
Reminds me of Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, when Jesus is saying, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich and white clothes to wear. So you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to be able to put on your eyes so you can see. These purifying moments, you know, you think about it as if we don't allow these testings, these trials that test our faith, he says, which is more precious than gold.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're going to suffer trials of many kinds. And there have to be for the testing of your faith, as Peter's writing about it. And he says, but this is the testing of your faith to prove that it's genuine. So whatever's left, that's truly what kind of faith that you have. You know, untested faith is, I'm sure there's some faith in there somewhere, but it's not as big as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the day that somebody says, you know, that I'm excited today, we're pregnant today. And it's like, oh, it's wonderful. I mean, but in 8 months, let's just find out where that is. I mean, you'll be more pregnant in 8 months than you are, what I heard. I mean, you got to go through that process of carrying this thing, this child, this vision, this call, this, he says, you know, test yourself, you know, to see if you're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go through these trials. And you think about it, if you avoid, and this is a proven thing, I meant. The baby boomers' parents were in the phase of drug and tug. That prior to that season, you know, that a mother would go through birthing pains and go through the pain of birthing, but all of a sudden they started drugging the mothers and tugging the babies.
Mm.
And so the mother would just be knocked out totally. And they would bring this baby out, and they never did know the pain. They didn't know that pain. They knew obviously pain afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they said that what was interesting in some of the studies on this, it's some of the reports reportedly, that generation that was born with the drug and tug babies that were born, That was the highest drug addicted culture that has ever been.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And how, you know, if we're not willing to go through something, if we're not willing to have that pain, not only does it affect our generation, but it affects the next generation. And now they, I mean, look how people don't want to go through any pain at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any pain at all. And so, but life has pain in it. Some people say, you know, God's delivered us from the curse. Yeah. I mean, he has delivered us. But if you haven't been in a room with a woman having a baby yet, I mean, you got to say there's still pain in childbirth.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the beginning in Genesis. And so you look at this, and you think, well, you know, life requires me going through something. I mean, mm-hmm. If we want a good fighting force and a military force that's going to fight, you got to have boot camp. Mm-hmm. You got to, they bring a man in there, they bring a woman in there, and they break them down. They break you down. Then they build you back up what they want you to be. That's what God does. I mean, we have all these grandiose ideas or what's going on. It's like, no, you're actually, all of your righteousness was like filthy rags. And it's only my son, Jesus, that I'm seeing here. But I'm going to move you right up to be like him in some way. You know, you're going to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And that comes with us decreasing more and more and less of us and less of us. We don't become Jesus. We just become less of us and more of him shows in our life. I guess the process lasts as long as you're willing to humble yourself. Mm. I mean, how long does the pain last?
Mm-hmm.
It could last when he just says, I'm going to take you to the promised land. It's 11-day journey. Be there.
Well,
you're God. Yeah. Let's do this thing. 11 days. You probably would have done 11 days because of the heat. You probably would have done. Let's just do it. 11 days. I got a clear vision.
Yeah.
Let's move it on out.
Let's get this done.
Bitter water. Oh my goodness. But even in that, you think about the first thing God did, he brought a people out of slavery who cried out because of their pain. But the first place he brings them to is a place of bitter water to be able to know that God is your healer. But in that pain, in that process, in that difficulty, then that's what they were going to learn. And just would encourage you, because you may be going through something right now. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's occupational. You know, maybe it's in your time with the Lord. And if you're not, you know, based on some of the prophetic words that we're getting and others are getting, you're going to be. Mm. And if you haven't understood that, then you don't understand that if God loves you, if Father God loves you, he disciplines those he loves. And if you avoided discipline and didn't understand this, then all of a sudden, when it comes, you're totally confused. You don't understand. Why is God letting me go through these hard times? Why hasn't God rescued me? It's like, he's the one that led you into this thing. What do you mean rescued you? He understands this is what it's going to take for you to come through this refiner's fire so you truly can have what you profess to have.
Mm-hmm.
You can truly have. He says, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. And it's like, but if we avoid going through those difficult times, we avoid dying to ourselves. I mean, what do we have in the end of it? I mean, do we have anything to show to God at all? Is there any faith at all? And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you specifically look, it's the hall of faith. You see people that ruled mm-hmm. by faith. They fought wars by faith. They stood by faith. Their faith was tested when they did what God said do, and they kept their faith in God. But they went through stuff. They went through huge stuff. But now we're reading about them in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, but there's a book of remembrance being written about you. Mm-hmm. You know, what's being written in the book of remembrance that Malachi talks about you? Are you going through anything? Or are you whining through everything?
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. There's some folks, it's like, my goodness, if you whine anymore, my ears are bothering me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't even go through a delay in traffic. And God's wanting to give you 10-year delay in his provision. I mean, to be able to teach you something so he can bless you with great wealth. But you first got to go through some stuff. Make sure if you haven't yet gotten or watched that particular program, make sure you get it. It's like Vision. I believe the title of it is, you know, Vision, the secret to be able to survive in life's struggles that's going on. You got to get it, Vision.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
So, you know, that, Donna, she, yeah, she, you can buy gummy bear type vitamins now. And I thought, well, what's the big deal? But truly, now that I'm actually taking a multivitamin gummy bear, and I'm not a gummy bear person.
Wow.
I thought I'd actually take my vitamins, you know, take it.
So then I saw this gummy bear format.
It's just a, you know, it looks like a little mountain thing or something. I don't know what it is. It could be. I didn't have my glasses on. And so then I saw this commercials, like they even have fiber, you know, it's for Pat, fiber and gummy bears. Right. And I thought, gummy bear fiber. I mean, this is like the baby boom thing
cutting
going
edge,
on. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, Donna, get some of that. Oh my goodness. I'm already doing vitamins. I'll even take fiber.
Oh wow.
With something like that. And so when she got it, I was like, as a child protector on top of gummy bears, you know, fiber, I thought, how ridiculous. You'd have a child protector top.
Those regulations again.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So it said, take two of them. It said, take two of them. And this was my first day of being able to take them. And it just happened to be on a Sunday. And I thought, dude, these are so small and they taste so good. I'm thinking I'm going to take four.
Oh, no.
I'll take four gummy bears. They're gummy bears. They're gummy not bears. So I, you know, opened the child protector top and I put the four gummy bears and I just chewed them up, had a great time, put the child protector top back on. And then I went and spoke. And it was amazing how gummy bears can make a grown man almost cry. So I do want to say it does miraculously work. You're only supposed to take two.
Oh.
And I do understand why they have a child protector top on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. That was an amazing, amazing baby boomer moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You're not going to believe this, Pat. You know, I used my what kind of drill do I have?
Wait a minute, you have a drill?
A Robo.
Ryobi.
Wait a second, wait. You have a drill?
Oh my goodness, Ryobi. Did you see this? More like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
If you don't know the
well,
what color is it?
You have to understand.
Exactly.
If you catch our next program, you're going to understand.
Don't know.
We're going to have a program talking, you know, about Glenn Beck and where he's at and what the doctor said. One thing the doctor said about, and you'll hear more in the next program, that he had so much information he's processing, the other things, the brain had to just dump the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me a long time ago.
Yeah, but that was just like Star Trek at that time. Is all you had different versions.
Yeah, well,
of that.
I had to get rid of it.
It wasn't the winning games for the Saints either, because that wouldn't have took much brain space there.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, I use my drill. I use my drill. It's real cool. It's got like a little battery pack thing, magic. You put in, and it kind of, you don't need a cord or nothing.
Wow.
And I was so excited.
Fancy.
I was so excited because I had to put this sign up. This sign. I figured too, I had to have a screw. Players Group. That's before,
that's,
you know,
that's pretty far. Good.
Yeah. Got that so helps. Many things going on. So, but I'm excited about it. As a matter of fact, I planned, I was so excited that I put my drill on my desk because I was going to use that drill.
Good then place, I had a good place for it.
Yeah, and so then I had to find, that's where some of the things that are.
There's some other stuff there.
So, and I'm just waiting till my birthday, so you'll do that thing.
Oh,
my
great. Birthday.
Oh, by the way. Anyway, so the, and so it's pretty cool. You, it's got like a little screw thing on the end of it, you know, like a screwdriver, but it's not a screwdriver. You don't have to turn it.
Because it's a drill.
Yeah, it's a drill.
Right. Just saying.
Right. Hey,
I'm with you. I'm paying attention.
And so I'm so excited. I'm walking out to my fence where I'm going to use this drill. I'm all ready. I got it. I went into the storage area that was amazing. It's got stuff in there. It's got stuff in there, man. I first looked at my desk drawer because I never looked there. I'm thinking, there's got to be a screw in there, right? And so
I need a screw.
There was like pens and stuff and staples or stick notes and stuff. It was amazing, man. And I think I forgot. And so then I'm going in the storage building to find, you know, a screw, a couple of screws or something, because it takes four screws to put this sign up. And, man, it's got like supplies and things. It's like, that's amazing. You know, it was pretty cool. And it had like this bucket with some old screws, like some, I don't know, probably put the wrong screws, but I got four of them that were the same, whatever. And I'm walking out in my yard and my neighbors are passing by and I have my Ryobi.
Yes.
Huge.
18 volt.
That he can't describe.
In my hand. And of course I'm walking real slow because the neighbors are driving by and I'm waving with my drill in my hand.
Saying, I didn't know, like, my neighbor had a drill.
I am fixing, because they're going like, he has a tool. Something's going to go wrong here.
That's,
you know?
Not his drill.
And so I'm walking real slowly and people, you know, I'm taking my time and just waving with my drill and
pointing at it
yeah, and all that. And I just used it. It was just pretty neat.
You knew how?
Yeah. I've actually stuck the screw.
Get to read the instructions.
So this was the first time that you've used your drill.
No, it's not, because I had a birdhouse issue. That was a bird feeder. It was a bird feeder. You know, it was a bird feeder that I wanted this bird feeder. I wanted these birds. Got these bluebirds and things around. I wanted to be able to see these birds. I wanted to remember Matthew chapter 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to watch these birds eating. So I got this bird feeder thing, but I put it too low or something before. So this time I'm going to use, this is my other time I used it. I am going to drill screw this thing in this bird feeder thing. And it was real quick. Think about it. You don't get to enjoy that long, cause it's like, you stick it in there 5 seconds and it's done.
I'm drill.
Like, that's good if you do it all the time, but only did it twice. That is more of an experience. You know, it was like, that was it. There was nothing left to it, you know?
Yeah.
And of all the things that happened
for me,
well, I got better. I got all the things that happened.
Well, now you've used it twice,
but all the things that happened for these birds, squirrels started coming and eating my bird food. And that's something. So then I got my Ryobi shotgun out. I got my Ryobi shotgun. No. So then, well, so exciting. This is where I really did use Ryobi. We're not a sponsor, but you can be one. But they have this extension saws that, because I have this weeds that just keep growing, they call them trees, and you know, to cut them things back, people charge you lots of money if they're going to do something like
that.
They just keep growing and growing, unlike the grass. Anyway, so I got this Ryobi extension. It's like 10 foot, and you put, you know, hook these two pieces together.
To your drill?
To the battery pack. And it's got this saw on the very end of it. And I can actually extend this thing out and I can cut something, I don't know, 20 feet away. No, maybe 10 feet away.
I thought it was 10 feet long. I
need to pray for my neighbor. He's got a haircut going on. But it was amazing. I was just got carried away with it. And so hopefully these trees will grow back. But it was amazing. You can, and it's the same concept. There was no cords or nothing, you know, prior to, you know, Pat and I working together years ago, I thought everything had to have a cord, but I found out that he's probably going to end up with, they're having this big push going on for battery operated cars and stuff. So I believe he'll probably be the first one, but it's just so not aggressive. You know what I'm saying? You're like, how do you rev up a battery operated car? It's like click.
It doesn't make any noise.
It doesn't make any noise at all. But you have to put like cards in your spokes or something to make some noise. Like a little car. But yeah, so I did use my, with the drill part of it, I used it twice, but with my.
So where's your drill now?
Probably in my desk drawer. I don't know. I did a cutback, all these different things with it. And it was pretty cool. This is a great way to save money, is to pull your tools out of your storage and use them. Like if you got a lawnmower, you know what I'm saying? Use that thing, you know what I'm saying?
You know they do make battery operated lawnmowers now.
That's just pathetic. And that's sad. You need some noise, that's, you know, sad. Some noise in there. But it was really cool. You can actually cut these things back. And what's so cool about it is that if your battery runs low, you just pull another one off the charger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready for this. I'm ready. If I have another screw that I need to screw in.
You have a drill.
I have two batteries for this one screw to be able to charge. But now it's more justifiable with this 20-foot extension saw type thing.
Right.
But I got to call my neighbors and tell them to step back because I'm going in to do some cutting. But I could cut really high, really low, great distances, real cool feet. Tool. And again, it is Pat that introduced me. My father still calls me up and said, did you take my tools? I'm like, Dad, I ain't been there for 75 years. You know what I'm saying? I try to restrain Remember myself, you know, from telling that to my son because I heard it so many times. Anyway, don't forget, of all the tools that we can have as Christians is the Bible. We want to find out how to live our life and how to effectively do things. It's the tool of the Word of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear His voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity and our response. We need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better, be absolutely resolved to know His voice better, and we need to get better at obeying His voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study His word, you'll understand He always rescues His people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to His plan. You have to know Him. You have to understand how to hear His voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today. At iabide.org.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I
oh,
have.
Oh man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all of your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh? Spread
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Pat, are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, Steve, are you ready?
To rock and roll.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, good. I was making sure Pat was ready.
Hey, we're
good.
Is
he ready now?
He looks ready.
All right. I thought he was ready.
That's the face of readiness right there.
He stays ready, so he doesn't have to get ready. So we want to make sure about that.
That's
just as long as you're
Remember
ready.
Remember that.
All right. I want to make sure that we talk about all these great things that are
constant state of readiness.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking about George W. Bush. He had the opportunity to meet with Steve Green as they talk about the Bible Museum. Mm. And President Bush says he read the Bible every day during his presidency.
Who's Steve Green?
Steve Green is the owner and I guess the chairman of Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And great business who was able to win the Supreme Court about the, you know, mandatory, being able to offer the mandatory abortion pills and things of that nature for contraceptives. And they struck it down. I mean, it was just amazing what happened there. And they're getting ready to launch a museum in 2017 that's going to be absolutely amazing.
Beautiful.
We're going to talk more about that. But I know that, Steve, on your heart, you're going to be sharing with us about building with the right materials.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us.
Well, you know, I think about, I used to live in Michigan. And there's this.
Did you? I did.
There was this joke where it's like there's not really seasons.
Any particular place in Michigan?
Yeah, Detroit area.
Oh,
you may have heard.
Oh, you lived in Detroit?
Yeah, you may have heard of their football team. They're actually doing quite well.
No, not really.
No,
not so much.
Not really.
I don't really know anybody on the team, but hey, I'm just going to throw it out there that I've heard they're doing good. So, but there was this. There's this kind of joke.
You left Detroit. I mean, Detroit being the way it is right now, you left. Left them like that.
He looks at me like that was my fault. Like I left in the economy.
It's Detroit, dude. Detroit
does have the Red Wings, and they are doing quite phenomenal.
The who?
What? What's that?
Hockey. Say it with me now.
Oh.
Hockey.
Is that a food? What is that?
Yeah, it's what happens when you don't play baseball.
Is that like a badminton team?
Man, they just jump all over it, man. We talk about Saints and...
But I don't know what is that a plane? What is that?
That's what it sounds like.
Anyways, if I go anywhere near, I'm going to get struck down.
Wow.
That's right.
Detroit.
See, I'll tell you what. You know what?
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
I'm remaining. It doesn't matter. if there's no hockey fans next to me, left or right, I will stand for hockey. Oh, even if I'm in the South.
All alone.
I just want to apologize to everyone in Detroit. I'm sorry that Steve left. I'm sorry that Steve left, and you know he. I'm just sorry. I'm just wow.
Awesome. I just want to say to everyone in Florida, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Just Florida, Detroit. I just that hurts me.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time right now.
But always comes back. Did you guys see the New Orleans game?
What did you just say?
Was that English? What? Say that again.
Who?
Yeah, and y'all are brutal, man.
Well, I'm just wondering.
You see how they do me like that?
I'm just wondering, you know?
Anyways.
I'm just
long stuff.
So you're from Michigan.
I think that's...
We are still talking about Michigan.
We're trying to help you get on your way.
Hey, man, I'm here with you, man.
Listen,
we're just
bomb on us. We have to, you know, give us time to recuperate.
I'm trying to roll with you.
You have to clarify. Okay.
I did, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Southeast Metro Detroit area. For all of those that don't know, area.
All right.
Okay. Anyways, moving on. But there's this joke in Michigan that there's not really seasons. There's winter and construction. And the state tree in Michigan is the construction cone. And it's just like there's always construction. There's always buildings. It's just like there's something being built is because, you know, the weather is just, it's horrific. If you're from up north, you know about the roads. It's just like the good thing about snow is it fills in all the potholes. But it's
for
just,
a little while.
For a little while. But it's just like, anywhere that you are, you can see the construction or buildings and the things that things that are always being built. But I look at our lives and I think about it and it's just like, God wants to build something in us. And it's just like every single life is a building. And when you look at it, it's just kind of like, you know, I've been just seeing things and it's just like, what am I building my life on? What are we building with? Because if you look around, it's just like you get one shot at it. You get one shot to build your so-called building, which is you, your life. Jesus wants to take up residence in you, in your heart. And I'm reminded about in 1 Corinthians, it says, In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." And it says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it." And it's just, it's so significant because so often that we have many conversations about eternity and what God is doing in this life. And so quick we are to become focused on this life in the horizontal. But if you think about it, in Peter, it says that we are being built up like living stones into a spiritual house. God has a purpose for us. There's a reason why what he's doing in the world, and he wants us to be a part of his house, his spiritual house. We're living stones. But continuing back in 1 Corinthians, it says, "But each one should be careful how he builds." Because you think about it, if someone's an architect or if someone's a foreman or a project manager, they're very meticulous about the ingredients, if you will, the building plans. You don't just throw any type of material because it might not pass code. It might not, weather the storm. Continue on, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is in Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is on that day." Mm-hmm. And you just really look at that and you're like, okay, you mean there's a difference between what I can build, between gold, silver, costly stones, and hay, wood, and stubble? And you look at that, and it's just like you can just walk real quickly and just pick up some wood on the side of the road. I mean, I think about now, I mean, in the seasons, as it starts to get colder out, people want to build a fire. And you'll begin to see ads, and people, pick up some firewood, and people don't want it. They'll throw firewood in the trash. They'll throw firewood next to the dumpster because somebody will come pick it up. So it's like you can find wood anywhere. But to think about the labor that you have to go through to find the costly stones, you got to do some work. So we're asking the question, it's just like, how do I build with costly stones? And it reminds me too, in Matthew 7:21, Jesus talks about, he says, many people are going to come to me on that day and say, "Look at all I did. I built a whole lot of stuff. Look at what I've done." But Jesus says, "I never knew you." And the things that we do in this life matters because Jesus is love. And if we do anything apart from love, Paul talks about the fact that it's just a sounding gong. We're just making noise. So if we're doing anything just to do it apart from love, that is the hay, wood, and stubble. Those are the things that are just quickly going to burn up because it's not in love. Jesus wants us to walk in love. He wants our lives to be a resounding, just echoing trumpet of God loves you. God loves me. Look at my life. If God can save me, trust me, he can save you.
Right.
And how you can gauge that is look at, like, have you ever been interrupted?
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? Don't bother me. I'm doing something right now. Do you kind of get that, like, all of your skin is kind of boiling and I can't believe this person's talking to me right now?
How do you do, Pat? Like, example, like, you know.
What do you mean?
But being you interrupted. Get interrupted. Does that happen, the skin boil and stuff? Like, no. What was that, Steve? Steve, what was that? What did you say?
Well, you just can kind of get fidgety because you were making such good ground.
Well, does that?
You were getting so much done.
Does that happen to you?
No. I can't recall any. No.
See, he's exuding love right there.
Oh, okay.
He's exuding love.
I had that question. Okay.
But this is such an important question to ask because so often that we can be making such good grounds but never ask ourselves, okay, why am I doing this? What are my motives right now? Because if we're doing it for people, then we're never going to be interrupted. Because if somebody comes to us, we're not doing it just to do something. We're doing it because we're doing all things for Jesus. Mm. And he continuing on in 1 Corinthians, he says, because that day when we all stand before him, he says that day will bring it to light and it will be revealed with fire and the fire will test the quality. And I look at that and it so is revealing to me because a lot of times it's like we get into those tough situations and we see something in our own life that it brings things to the surface. It's revealing those hay, wood, and stubble things in our own heart that we've been trying to work on, or we've been trying to, you know, say, hey, you know, I can build something with this. Trying to burn a couple things of hay together. Have you ever tried to start a fire with a little pieces of wood?
No.
Never done that? I've heard you've had a couple experiences though, trying to build fires.
It doesn't work.
How does that work?
It doesn't work very
well. How long did it take you to build that fire?
Well, if
he never did.
If the wood is not seasoned,
he had to get somebody with more experience.
Detroit and building the fire, man, they will jump all over that.
No. I think a teenager came in there and saved the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that fire never got started.
Never happened.
So I was trying to take the time and teach some young guys.
So this thing of whatever that was, that didn't happen. Okay.
They are relentless. See?
You were saying? I mean,
yeah. But it's these moments that we're going to find out what is in our heart. Is there gold? Is there silver? Is there costly stone motives in our heart? Because Jesus talks about it. He says, he writes a letter to the church of Laodicea and he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Because it's like we're going to get in those gold refining moments and be like, you know what? That's kind of difficult. It reveals things in me I don't like. I don't like being uncomfortable. And it's just like, okay, that's that decisive moment when we're saying to Jesus, I don't really want to build my life with gold. I want to stay in a life of comfort hay. I want to stay in a life of wood. And it's like, hey man, you can build what you want, but I'll tell you what, when you get to that day, you're going to find out real quick what you've been building on. And it's like, this is that moment. We are the house of God. The sons and daughters of Christ, like Peter says, we are living stones being built up in a spiritual house. So we got to be mindful of just like, hey man, what's in your tool chest? What's on your building codes? What's on your blueprints? What are you building with? What are your building materials? Allow God to lead you in you know, doing a look of your inventory and saying, hey man, do I have gold and silver in my heart, or do I have wood and hay in my heart? And that's the thing. It's just like when you spend time reading the word, allow God to just show you what's in your heart and be open, be humble. Allow those next to you and being like, do you see pride in my life? Or do you see someone that's just willing to love? Mm-hmm. Because we need God to be able to show us that. We need God to be able to guide us in that. Because this is what God wants us to do, to be sons and daughters of love.
Wow, that's powerful. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious-free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice Texas is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know, here just recently, we were talking briefly in the beginning of our program about the Bible Museum. My goodness, the Bible Museum is going to be ready 2017, so they do have some time to to get it prepared. But Steve Green, the president of Hobby Lobby, and the founder of the Bible Museum. You would think that we'd have a Bible Museum already, but apparently we don't. But this museum is going to be located in Washington, D.C. They you know, were thinking about what city to put the this museum in, and they came down to Washington. Came down to Washington. They were looking at New York and the big areas.
D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. Anyhow. So what happened was they're looking at a building that's 430,000 square feet. The Green family has been able to gather the largest collection of Bible artifacts, I believe, in the world. And wow. It's been, going to different cities in the exhibition and, so people can look at it and take a look at it. But it's just amazing. It's going to be 8 stories high, and it's going to be something that they want the whole entire world to be able to enjoy. But here recently, the president, Steve Green, of Hobby Lobby, had the opportunity to have these talks where they invited a small number of people, about 200 civic leaders and business leaders in Dallas. They wanted to bring awareness to to the Bible Museum and kind of share what's going on. And one of their guests was a former president, George W. Bush.
Wow,
and cool. It was pretty cool. They had a chance to ask him about his life and what he thought, and that's where he revealed that he read the Bible during his presidency and sought God for wisdom in the Word. And it's powerful. The Bible is taking center stage once again, which is so important. The Bible is the only book that comes with the author, and it's amazing when you look at some of the old manuscripts and some of the things they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I actually saw the place where reportedly, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls when I was in Israel. I have a picture of that.
While you were there?
Not while I was there, but where they found it. Apparently, some boy was throwing rocks and inside this cave and broke this. They heard a glass shatter. They went to go find out what it was. Dead Sea Scrolls were in there.
Wow!
Absolutely amazing. And so we have those manuscripts today. But this Bible collection is going to be something that's going to be absolutely amazing and something that we'll be able to share with the entire world. You know how many people come to Washington, D.C.? I mean, they come in by the droves, world leaders. And I'm thankful for the Green family. When you think about a family that's been able to dedicate themselves to, God, and they take their business, Hobby Lobby. If you've not been to Hobby Lobby, listen, go buy something at Hobby Lobby. Buy anything. Because the family that owns this business, they love God. They stand for God. They stand for truth. And now they took on this project of building the Bible Museum. And I think they're great examples. I had a chance to, Steve Green is the son, but I had a chance to hear his father. I don't remember his first name, but Mr. Green, I guess. I had a chance to hear him at a business conference. It was an Anointed for Business conference many years ago. And I was able to hear about their story and how they started out. They started out building these crafts in their backyard as a family.
and Hobby Lobby grew to the company it is today. And he shared during his talk how the Lord was moving upon him to close on Sundays. And that's something that he wasn't, you know, open to at first. And so what happened during, after some time, that they started experiencing tremendous loss in business and revenue. I mean, just kept on a decline. And he says, okay, God, I'll listen. I'll obey you. And at a time where it did not make any economical sense at all, they closed the doors down, Steve, on Sundays. Wow. And revenue started picking back up again. And that's been absolutely wonderful to see happen.
It makes me think about Chick-fil-A and them kind of walking through the same processes as far as having the fact of just only being open 6 days, them closing the door on 7 days, and them being open for 6 days, closing on that Sunday, and how they have brought in so much revenue amidst their industry, amidst the giant names in the fast food restaurants, and it's just like how God is blessing them, and it's just like he's looking for someone that's going to honor him. That's going to honor God and just say, okay, hey, this is the Lord's day. We're just going to take that time of rest. And it's just like, that's just not a good idea. That's biblical.
Yeah.
And it's powerful just to see that those that are willing to take a stand for God uncompromisingly, unwaveringly, staying steadfast and watching how God blesses his family, blesses the business. And now look at how they're being such a light in an entire nation.
Yeah, I believe that God's raising up kingdom financiers, if you will. People that have an anointing for business to gather wealth, and they're going to use that wealth not just for themselves, but they're going to use that wealth to advance the kingdom. I believe that every believer should be a kingdom financer, if you will. You know, that you should be looking out of the resources that God has entrusted to you to be able to sow strategically, prayerfully, into works and ministries of God that go to the advancement of his kingdom. And if you're listening today, you know, consider being a partner for VFN TV. We're taking the gospel all around the world, and we're continuing to, by God's grace, be a light. But there are many ministries that are doing a great work for the kingdom of God. And imagine if every believer had that type of a mindset where they realize that God has given me seed to eat, but also seed to sow, right? Bread to eat, seed to sow, and that a portion of what God has entrusted to me, I'll be able to sow. I remember Ed Silvoso saying something like that. He sells his books, and he decided not to take any revenue from his books. And he I guess, made an agreement with God and said, I'd like to earn this type of salary, and he set it up pretty high. And then he said, anything else that comes after that, I'm going to sow 100% into the kingdom. And he said, God blessed it. And his books and all this other stuff that he does is, you know, all gravy, because it goes right into kingdom work and kingdom finances. And I just think that's a beautiful thing. And if we can teach that to our children at an early age, they start realizing that, you know, with wealth comes great responsibility. And I think that that's a tragedy that we have not been able to instill in our children at a young age. When they think of money, they often think about things that they can get for themselves with money, but they don't see how they can impact the lives of others. And I'm working with my sons on kids helping kids, something that they can see themselves being able to affect other children in different parts of the world. And how cool is that, that we can take, you know, something that we have, some resources, and invest it kingdom-wise. I think about the folks that gave Mike Bickle in Kansas City, I was, I think, $1 or $2 million, and they wind up buying the Harry Truman, President Harry Truman property that was valued at millions of dollars. They didn't have the resources to purchase it, but I believe Bob Jones told them he was going to have that property.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
You know, they didn't know. And so what happened was, I believe that Jewish people had owned the property. It was worth a whole lot more. Once they found out what the vision, what it was for, they actually wind up, you know, giving them at a just ridiculously low price. I think it was like $1 million or something like that. And when they said they would, they didn't have, Mike Bickle didn't have $1 million, but somebody somewhere gave $1 million right at that same exact time. And they were able to purchase those properties. And my understanding, that's where IHOP is located today, and they're affecting the nations of the world by 24-hour prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I want to encourage you to look for fertile ground. Look for ways where and ministries that you can say, listen, this is a kingdom ministry,
yeah,
and we need them. And when we create that awareness, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Where children can start raising money for missionaries. They can see themselves raising money to get, programs like VFN TV all across the nation and the world. I mean, we're affecting people in Pakistan and places where they can't even get Christian television through the power of the internet and all the different technologies that are available to us. Mm-hmm. They're getting the gospel beamed right into their home, into their workplace, bypassing any kind of regulation, and it's coming across their phone. I think it's absolutely amazing, and we want to encourage you to follow the lead of the Green family. You don't have to own a mega business and make millions of dollars to see yourself as a kingdom financer. Advance the kingdom and use your wealth for souls. Listen, God has blessed us with the ability to gain wealth. Let's use it to bless Him and to bless His people.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, I remember specifically my parents bringing up when they were kids. They used to listen to and watch the I Love Lucy marathon.
And oh, yeah?
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't really get to catch more than probably about 5 minutes of an episode. And there was also like the, the Gilligan's Island marathon. And as a kid, I used to watch the Cartoon Network. And I used to watch my the Ninja Turtles. And there was the marathon weekend or the marathon constantly, the consistent program back to back. But I know that when you're listening to the VFN radio program, you're like, I want more. Is there more God? Yes. There's the marathon weekend where you can listen to back-to-back-to-back programs of the VFN radio program. 9 a.m. Central Saturday to 9 a.m. Central Monday. Check it out. Every weekend, all God, the marathon weekend.